Test Talks, episode 14.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks, the podcast dedicated to all things test automation. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and this is what I like to call automation awesomeness for your earbuds. And today, it's going to be especially awesome because we'll be speaking with Paul Bruce from SmartBear about performance testing using Load UI, and also we get into more general fundamental questions about what is performance testing, best practices performance testing, and a whole lot more. Paul is a web performance engineer, a seasoned software developer, a technology consultant, and family enthusiast. He has worked as a solutions provider in nonprofit higher education, a web applications architect in the healthcare industry, consulted with small and medium-sized startups on technology-related issues, and currently works at SmartBear, where he specializes in both front-end and back-end performance optimization. Check it out. Hey, Paul. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. So, Paul, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a web performance engineer here at SmartBear. Currently, I handle the two Load products, Load UI Web, Load UI. I've been a developer for 15 years. I've worked in all kinds of industries, healthcare, nonprofit, higher education. I'm a tinkerer. I love to tinker. I specifically have realized I'm a very well-versed engineer in the sense that I really look forward to getting into the dirty details of something. And, you know, that works really well when you come to web performance.
Okay, Paul, let's start off keeping it really simple. What is Load UI?
Yeah, so we have Load UI, which is our offering to be able to load test services. So that's tightly paired with our sister product, Soap UI. And what you do is, you know, you build your test out in Soap UI, and then you can turn around and load UI and load that same functional test up and then use that to do your load tests.
What's the main difference between Load UI open source and Load UI Pro?
So the main difference between Load UI Pro and Load UI free version is that, number one, the Pro version has a number of features that are really useful when it comes to enterprises and continuous integration processes. So for instance, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking the comparison result set. So you can run a test and then load up, let's say, a previous baseline, and that gives you a graph of inline data that allows you to compare to a previous set. So right off the bat, as you're starting to run the test, or when you hit that critical mark in the test, you can see how you were comparing to last run. And that's really helpful to be able to confirm or prove that not only something was solved, was fixed, maybe a performance issue, the CPU on the server, maybe that was an issue last time and running that code this time doesn't cause that issue. And that's a good problem. Hopefully you get a resolution like that. But sometimes you're also looking for any kind of regression problem. So for instance, if you told the devs, hey, fix this problem, they say, yeah, we fixed it. You should be able to see that they not only didn't fix it, but this time they made it even worse. So the CPU is even more tapped this time around. Those are things you can do with the comparison feature. We also have a couple of features around the distribution, you know, to be able to distribute out like we were talking about. To be able to distribute your test out to a number of different remote agents is another pro feature. And then of course, server monitoring is a pro feature as well.
Paul, I just want to follow up on something you mentioned when we first started. You mentioned a tool called Load UI Web, and that's actually a tool I've never heard of before. So what is Load UI Web?
Load UI Web is specifically for web performance. So for instance, you know, you record through a browser your interactions, and then that builds a set of traffic. Then you can use that traffic to load test your site in large volumes, so you can ramp up the number of virtual users.
Oh, cool. So it's a little more like LoadRunner with their HTTP protocol?
Correct. Yeah. So it handles HTTP and HTTPS and a number of different authentication methods. And, you know, the reports that come out, the point of it is it's supposed to be a load testing tool for the masses. And, you know, I don't know if you've looked at LoadRunner's pricing recently, but we feel that people can do their own load tests, that there doesn't have to be a high bar of financial buy-in in order to be able to do that. In fact, you know, my personal stance on this is, you know, the democratization of being able to do load tests is what's causing a lot of the lack of performance in the market. If a small business wants to figure out if their website's going to perform when, oh, by the way, they have a good day and they get a lot of traffic, that's a good thing. unless you're not set up, unless you haven't done performance testing or you don't know what the performance of your site is. To be able to have small and medium-sized companies, as well as large enterprises, be able to afford this stuff is kind of really important to the overall concept of web performance.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The more tools we have at the different price points, the better off we are. Not everyone needs an enterprise-wide solution that's, you know, has all the bells and whistles, I think.
That's right. That's right. It's kind of like Batman with his belt. You know, the belt has a lot of things on it, but really, usually what he needs is the grappling hook and the batarang.
Good point. I admit I still use LoadRunner for performance testing. I'm kind of spoiled. We have an enterprise license, so I don't think about the cost, but I know it's very, very, very expensive, especially for the maintenance cost. But besides the cost, what other features do you feel set SOAP UI Pro apart from, say, LoadRunner?
There's a couple of things. First off, the licensing. We don't charge you extra in order to be able to load test in the cloud. So we've got a distribution model that is based on this concept of remote agents. And so you have a controller computer, and then you've got a number of agents that you can distribute load out to. And then they go and hit your target server up, push a lot of traffic to that, and then they come back to the controller with their results, both inline, real-time, live analytics, as well as afterwards a report that comes out. The idea that you have to charge for extra servers to monitor in that process as well is something that I think the industry is sort of stuck on, in the sense that really, if we want to push people to want to test more, we really should make it very easy for them to do that and not get in the way and not capitalize on every little corner and nook and cranny of the way that you build these distributed tests out. So LoadUI and LoadUI Web both have the concept of remote agents. You don't charge more for more remote agents. So in that case, for instance, we allow you to install that on cloud machines. We allow you to install that on-premise servers. And then we also allow you to monitor on-premise servers with no additional charge.
So Paul, that's a great difference. The price points of the two tools are completely different. And also, I don't remember the last time I heard HP say that there's no additional charge for that. So besides price, another feature I think really differentiates yourself from LoadRunner is your UI itself. The UI is very modern. It's very easy to work with. Can you tell us a little bit more about the UI of LoadUI Pro?
I like to say that LoadUI is the prettiest load testing and performance management software out there. it is. It's pretty. It's also very intuitive. So the point is, and this is one of my personal things, I whiteboard a lot. I draw out my thoughts a great deal. And one of the things is, if I can't draw it out, maybe I shouldn't be drawing it out. Now, there are some problems that are so complex that, you know, maybe two-dimensional visual or something that you could postulate on a whiteboard, it doesn't bound what problem is. But for most of the performance tests and the complexity of performance test that I've seen, if you can't draw it out or if you can't design it on a surface like in LoadUI, where you just drag and drop components, you connect them up, it's a lot like a wiring diagram. If you can't declare that through a visual interface, then, you know, the results you're going to get out of that might be a little too complicated to be able to analyze in a reasonable amount of time.
What I really like about it is I'm a musician, so I kind of felt like a DJ. I have all these modules, and I could plan out my flows of a performance test just from the nature of the UI. It's very graphical and module, and you can drag things in different locations and then connect them. It's really cool.
Yeah, the analogy of a DJ isn't far off. I usually talk about it as orchestrating your test. If you can visualize it and you can put it out there and you can connect it up, then it's probably going to produce you a load that gives you results that are also just as intuitive to be able to analyze.
This also reminds me of another feature it seems to lend itself to. I was watching a beginner video and it talked about real-time performance testing features in LoadUI.
Yeah, so let's say you wire up something like a generator component to what we call a runner, and that provides a little bit of load on your servers. When you switch over to the statistics tab, now you can start to drag in specific metrics to charts so you can see how they're going. And this is all in real time. So you can see how it's going as soon as you press the play button. And then you can switch back to the design. You can even ramp up certain controls. So you can change the nature of the test as you're going along. Now that is helpful in a few set of circumstances. In most cases, people are used to setting up a performance test with a bunch of formal expectations and a bunch of planning out there. And that's good. That's very important. We want to be clean and diagnostic about what we do. On the other hand, when you know you've, let's say, set up a test and you're clearly hitting SLA, you're clearly hitting the expectations that you described, maybe you want to stress the server out to see where's the maximum limit. And to be able to do that in real time is really useful, instead of like kicking off a test and hoping that it works the way you thought it would, being able to change that in real time. The other thing that that's really useful for is when you need to provide a very diagnostic pattern in your test, like for instance, a combination of something like a soak and spike. So a soak test is something that you provide the server a lot of traffic and it hits its steady state, let's say, and it's all right, but it's really important to drive it up in certain circumstances and spike that. Kind of like when your marketing team sends out Twitter posts on a site that you haven't necessarily hardened when you're in the process of doing so, and now all of a sudden you see a spike in the middle of your traffic and that causes your server some problems. It's really important to be able to replicate that in a synthetic environment like load testing engines provide your server.
What I really like about it, it's almost like exploratory testing for performance testing with the real-time performance. And that sometimes uncovers things you wouldn't even think about that you've planned for. So that's a great analogy, actually. It's almost like exploratory testing for performance testing. It really lends itself to that.
The other thing I would mention too, Joe, is I don't know about you, but I grew up with Legos. And you know, I got bored really quick. So what I ended up doing is combining them with other things. And one of the things we're finding when it comes to the value of load tests is to provide real user monitoring results right there in line with the load tests. So this concept of that there's a separation between your load testers and your front-end performance monitoring, I think is really starting to be addressed in this whole concept of, you know, the DevOps thing, in the sense that we really, in critical times, we need to be able to combine these technologies together, much like sort of Lego sets, and get value out of them that otherwise they are one thing and the combined value is much greater. I'm just thinking my experience in finance, it taught me the value of, let's say, the process of auditing. But it's only when I came to SmartBear and started really looking at performance testing and realizing a lot of people don't do this like they should. They don't do this on a regular basis. It's not part of their CI if they even have an agile process or a continuous integration cycle formally. It's not anywhere. Let's say their site goes down, they get complaints enough where now all of a sudden they're losing transactions. Now they have to do load tests. Or they're worried that that's going to happen to them. So either way, they're usually coming at performance with this sort of negativity of like, you know, don't let it happen to me kind of thing. Well, this is a circumstance where we've all accepted the need to do a financial audit, well, albeit every year or maybe every quarter. You know, we all know the value of that, whether we like it or not. We know that it makes sure that our books are in line with what we're saying. It also makes sure that any outstanding issues are addressed on a regular basis. And that is exactly why we load test. We load test to make sure that not only are our software is functional, but it's functional in a world that demands good performance as much as it demands uniqueness and creativity and innovation.
I guess my next question then is, how is performance testing different for APIs as opposed to HTTP, normal traditional web-based testing?
Yeah, that's also a very good question. The nature of an API is to make a transaction. And a transaction between services or to a service is usually stateless, meaning that, let's say, you don't have cookies involved, or it's the point of statelessness is to be scalable so that if it happens on this machine, it doesn't matter if it happens on this machine or that machine, or this web server serves it or that web server serves it. And so it's very transactional at a rudimentary level. Like, for instance, it's way more down at the HTTP level, like SOAP or REST calls. Those are one-off calls, even if they're in sequence and they might exchange information. It's not stuff that the server necessarily is expected to maintain. It's more that the client is expected to maintain that sort of sessionness. The other thing about web testing and performance testing, if you switch over to the browser world, the interaction world, testing is contained by certain aspects of the way that people use the website. There's the concept of the page in web pages that don't exist in the API testing world. So there are the similarities, like for instance, let's say a workflow that you've got a website, it hits a bunch of REST calls. So simply from a service perspective, you see that service call A, B, and C represent this unique workflow. But when it comes to web performance testing, that's including a whole bunch of other assets that have nothing to do with services. You know, so the analysis that you make over, let's say, the results of a web load test from a website versus an API test, well, that might include things like, you know, am I statically caching my content and serving out content? You really start talking about content types and things like, you know, how is this page compared to that page and so on and so forth. That's on the website, and that's way more about interactive assets that are being loaded from these servers and distributed. On the service side, we're really talking about code efficiency, code and infrastructure efficiency at the root level. So there's a lot of shared components there. But most specifically, that's why we have two tools, LoadUI for service tests, and then also LoadUI Web to make sense of a more page-centric performance model.
So I was just wondering, a lot of times with performance tests, you may put load to generate a lot of load in the background using maybe a REST service, but then have a few scripts on the front end just monitoring and checking from a user perspective to see if the load on the REST service adds any extra performance or response time overhead when that's getting really busy.
In fact, we just actually announced something called UXM, which is taking from our other product alert site that handles APM, website monitoring. And we've already had support in alert site to be able to load up a SOAP UI functional script and monitor that service every so often. But those are snapshots in time, like you said. The next step is to really start applying that load. And our announcement of UXM Real, UXM Synthetic, those are two monitoring operations. And then also UXM Load is the new player on this market here that will start to be rolling out. In fact, our team is at the Velocity Conference this week just talking about that. So we're going to have new products to handle yet another set of considerations when it comes to your total web performance story. Much like we have the combination of the alert site API monitoring, SOAP UI as the functional, and then load UI as the performance route. It's a story that we tell through our APIs. And it turns out that actually, you know, websites are, of course, very important. That's where the e-commerce, that's where your customers interact. But as it turns out, APIs are now becoming such a viable business model that in and of their own right, many businesses are turning around and going, wow, that API that we wrote for maybe ourselves and a couple customers, we could monetize that. So how do we do that? And the first question to ask is, well, what's the performance of it like? Could we scale it out to another 100 customers? It's really becoming a core part of the business model, this whole API story.
Excellent. Yeah, I definitely agree. Especially with REST services, it seems more and more companies are developing specific services of their own that could be, like you said, leveraged and maybe sold at some point in time as a separate kind of entity that people can consume.
Yep. That's the same thing I hear. I was down at GlueCon about a month ago, and that's all that they were talking about. Well, they were talking about a lot of things, but I was overwhelmingly hearing the value of, you know, this kind of story where you can test these things together.
Any advice on how performance testing fits into an agile development project? Should it be run for every sprint? How do you see that being done?
Well, it's really sort of an a la carte thing in the sense that, you know, what your company can handle. And I would suggest that, you know, you really do want to make this part of your CI. Instead of leaving performance testing to its own right, people oftentimes bake the functional testing into the development process as part of that process, but not necessarily the performance and then the monitoring part of that. But that feedback loop is so necessary between real-time operations and what to performance test, what to functionally test, and how to rebuild, how to change your services, that it is sort of becoming like a little singularity. It's all crunching this stuff together. And when it comes to agile processes, you can still use waterfall. There's a lot of people who do, and then there's a lot of people who do agile, and there's a lot of success and failure all around there too. Those things, they're tangential in a sense to the fact that you do need to consider performance in any service you provide at this point, and two, how to integrate that into your life cycle. So specifically, you asked about, like, is it a sprint or is it a release or what, you know, where do you put that? Well, I would say, look, target things that you're monitoring, and target the ones that are the heaviest hitters, the ones that get the most hits, the obvious players that you would need to performance test right off the bat. Prioritize it by looking at your real-time production system. That's pretty much an obvious thing to me and to the people I work with, but it might not be obvious to the people in the field actually trying to figure out how to get their dev team to focus on the things that are showing in the revenue as causing issues. So start with that, and then back your way into, well, a prioritization of subtasks. So the lesser important, but still on the top, maybe the top 20 or 30 different workflows. And by the way, it's not just about when it comes to services, it's not just about individual transactions or calls. These really have to do with workflows.
So Paul, how would you handle third-party APIs? It seems to me that more and more applications are relying now on third-party APIs.
Third parties need to be monitored by you. If you're a business that's relying on third parties, you need to take ownership over how well those third parties are performing, because that will take down your performance as well. When they have a problem on their end, it's going to cause a problem on your end. Be proactive in doing due diligence against those third parties. Let's say a third-party service that your service calls to do, I don't know, I'm just pulling something out here, like geo IP location, something like that, or address validation. Make sure that that service actually stays up like you expect it to stay up. So that's really important. And it's the same thing with, you know, websites. Those social buttons on everybody's site are the slowest performers across the whole site. A couple of years ago, Twitter and Microsoft, their servers, they all kind of went down for a little while, had problems, and everybody's site was slow. So that dependency chain and the third parties involved in your sites or your services, one of those things that you really need to take ownership back instead of saying, it's their problem, not mine.
Great advice. I think sometimes people over-rely on mocking things like that. But you're right. You definitely want to check out and at some point make sure that those services are being responsive and they're not slowing down your overall performance once they're integrated together.
My mantra here is test often and test early. Now, I work at SmartBear, which is a testing company. We've got products for that, so it's kind of obvious why I would say that. But really, I say that because as I look at it as a developer, and I still consider myself primarily as a developer, even though I serve an engineering capacity here, that the intersection between those two things tells me that I need to start testing often and early. There's developers who've got TDD in their model that's test-driven design. If you've got such a formal process, or even if it's not formal, but it is part of the nucleus of how you think, fantastic. But if it's not, it's still fortuitous for you to test often and test early. Because then instead of leaving all the problems that are sometimes the hardest ones to figure out to the end, just before you're about to release, now all of a sudden performance problems? Come on. Instead of doing that, test often, test early. Spend a little bit of your time and your resources throughout the process rather than leaving it in a corner to the last minute.
I completely agree, because usually when it's the last minute, you can't really change the design at that point. If you made a bad decision at architecture that you didn't shake out early enough, then once it's already built, it's really hard to fix at that point.
Right. And I kind of was talking not just to professional testers and engineers, but also kind of management level. I would specifically do a shout out to management level, specifically about how should you go about performance testing? Well, from my experience, I know that a whole team of, let's say, devs, you know, who are tasked with 36 other things, or let's say an operations guy who's got a million things on his plate, and then you throw performance on his plate, you throw that last task on there, it's not going to be as good as if you get one person to be the performance engineer. And they can specialize in this. Feel free to let this happen. Feel free to let somebody specialize in performance testing, because what you get out of it is a huge bang for your buck. Right off the bat, there will be a little bit of a learning curve, but if you get the right person involved with just enough technical experience, and by the way, I would say an internal capacity to learn, that's really important in that person. Once you get that, then it'll be much easier to implement a continuous delivery process that has proper performance testing in it, so that the net result is that you're not shaking your head as to what's going on in production when performance problems happen in production. You've got somebody there with the experience, specifically the context too, around your own team and your own code and what you're shipping.
I can't agree more. That's such a great point, because I work with multiple Scrum teams and they have this huge definition of done. And one of them is, you know, high-level security testing, performance testing. And they're just scrambling after 2 weeks to get all this done. And it's such a great point. Management doesn't know. I mean, of course you want to do performance testing. Should be part of definition of done. But to expect these engineers to be able to do all that and to do it all well, I think is a little overwhelming for most people. So that's great,
right?
Advice. Yeah.
So it makes it easier and cheaper, you know,
yes,
to be able to deal with these things.
We've talked a little bit about different aspects of performance testing. But at a high level, can you tell us what's the difference between front-end versus back-end performance testing?
So we know what front-end performance testing is, right? It's, have I cached my images? Have I sprited all those icons? Have I, you know, provided max expiry information on my static assets? Am I loading lots of third parties? Am I hosting in a root domain? All these kind of things that are sort of like, you know, stuff you can get from YSLO. You know what I mean? Like stuff that tools even like 3 or 4 years ago that have been static for years, they're telling you. So that's stuff that is obvious low-hanging fruit. It might not be easy necessarily to re-implement. Let's say you create an app and you release that dev team to another project. You don't necessarily have assets just to change the code base or change the architecture verbatim. But there's stuff that's easy to figure out. That's front-end testing. Backend testing, on the other hand, is stuff that, let's say, you know, your servers, what's the max throughput of your servers at a raw level? But then also backing it up into the question of how long does a larger business transaction take from front end to back end, maybe to another back end, and then maybe to another back end, all the way back through that stack. So this load testing thing is much more like, are we hitting the goals we expect to and that we need to in order to make operations happy, in order to make sure that servers aren't going down and that we're satisfying every single logical business transaction, people checking their cart out from your site or putting in that bank authorization. So that's back-end testing, but there is really sort of this, I think, false separation between those two things in the industry where you've got a lot of front-end guys, you know, they get paid a lot of money and good, you know, like they do good work. But then there's all this back-end stuff that also needs to be considered. And don't even get me started on the intersection between those two things when it comes to the world we live in now, where there are CDNs involved and the mobile last mile is very much stretched out at this point. From it's not as easy to diagnose some of these issues because of the mobile connectivity piece. So just a quick note about that whole back-end front-end testing. It's all necessary, and all necessary in certain proportions depending on your own circumstance. But that's why I'm at SmartBear, is because there's people here who know those problems, who are looking to address those problems, who are very ready to help you figure out how to navigate your problem. And yeah, we have a couple of tools to help you with that.
As performance testers, how do we handle newer technologies, say something like AngularJS or say WebSockets?
Sure. So there's a couple of new technologies out there right now. Obviously, we've had JavaScript and, you know, dynamic Ajax, that kind of stuff for years. But most recently, there has been an adoption to WebSockets, specifically around vendor tool sets, you know, graphs and charts and tree views and all these kind of things that developers don't know any better. They just kind of implement. They say, let's upgrade that thing. It's prettier. And they do that. And one of the features is, let's say, WebSockets. This is where I'm really geeking out and where, you know, I'm hoping to work with our team in depth to figure out how we're going to address this. But even tools that do say that they satisfy a WebSocket protocol, problem is, fundamentally, nobody really has come up with a way to address the very nature of an asynchronous to bidirectional communication path. These kind of newer technologies, and then, you know, obviously video across the internet, but then dynamic buffering of that stuff, that's all very new. And so to be able to test that stuff becomes another challenge, not just, well, it's more HTTP traffic. But there's a lot that you can do just with standard HTTP traffic. Even with what we have, the vast majority of the tools out there and ours cover a vast majority of the traffic that you would incur against your site. So that's where you would take something that covers like 95% of what your site is doing and test it using that. But then you turn around and maybe, you know, find another tool to handle a very specific technology. For instance, you start in SOAP UI, and there's a process by which you hit these four services, and then you have to do an SFTP file transfer. And then you have to call a couple of other services based on the results of that. So that's one of the reasons why, of course, we have GroovyScript in SOAP UI and Load UI. So if you need to do a one-off style script, you can do that. But it's another place where how do you monitor the performance of whether that works or not? Last week, I did a Groovy webinar on some of the things you can do there. It was a Groovy script to handle things like, you know, testing your database capacity. The other one was being able to test an SFTP file transfer. And then I played around with the concept of WebSockets and how you could even use a Groovy script to do that. But as for formal tools, we're still starting to see these newer technologies. They're not even formally adopted by everybody necessarily yet in their infancy, even though they've been out for a couple of years. So of course the testing tools are hopefully arriving shortly after that, but it's one of those fronts, the front of the web, that I think the industry could do a much better job on supporting.
If I need to customize Load UI Pro or Load UI in any way, is there a way I can programmatically do that? And it sounds like the way to do that is using Groovy. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's three places. First off, we standardize on Groovy in the sense of if you want to extend the value of the product, you would use Groovy. It's cheap, it's fast, it's easy to learn, and you've got the full power of Java, the JRE, right behind you. You can implement third-party additional external jar libraries if you need to. And it's in three specific places in Load UI, one of which is the custom Groovy script runner. So for instance, if you want to put 100 transactions per second on a Groovy runner and run that 100 times per second, whatever that code is, you could do that. And there's caveats there too. If you're doing too much in your test, it's going to be bulky and it's going to be hard to pull off as a scalable load test. So there's the runner component that allows you to do Groovy. Then there's also the ability to write your own server monitors. So if you have some flavorant of, let's say you fork off, you know, the Apache source and you customize something there and you want to get custom metrics on that custom thing and you provide a service there, well, then you could turn around to Load UI and write a Groovy script that pulls that in. So we've got a couple of those out of the box, which are just Groovy scripts. Things like being able to pull Linux stats through the SNMP service. Then also things like the WMI provider, being able to pull that through into a Java application. We use GroovyScript for that. And then the final thing is custom components. So if for some reason you've got some kind of code that's a custom runner or something that is better expressed using a configuration widget, something you can drag and drop onto your surface, you can build your own custom components there too. LoadUI is primarily a load engine with, you know, additional support to make it easy to do the vast majority of your load tests. But if you need to take it off and do something really crazy, really advanced, really amazing, you can do that too.
So Paul, is there one thing you see over and over again in your experience that most people creating performance tests for APIs are doing wrong?
First off, they're building an expectation that isn't based on something in reality. So they're saying, I want to do 10,000 users. It's like, what do you mean 10,000 users? This is a service. Well, it calls a batch job, you know, in the middle of the night. Well, there's no concept of users. Well, okay, so transaction. I want to do 10,000 transactions. Oh, well, where do you get that? Over what period of time? I guess over the period of a day. Oh, so then concurrently, you mean X number of users concurrently. So being able to isolate specifically the volume that you're looking to test, both the average or the expected steady mode, as well as the maximum that you conceivably really, realistically would want to test. And once you get those two things, then building the tests out to do this are much easier because you're not running into all these red herring problems like, well, I turned it up to, you know, 500 transactions per second and I distributed it across 30 different machines and lo and behold, my service just died on me. What happened? What's wrong with the product? Well, it's really something wrong with the very definition of the test. You're looking to do too much. The other thing is, speaking of too much, is, you know, take baby steps into your test. Build tests, you know, especially from the ground up. If it's not already a simple test, something like based off of an existing SOAP UI project, well, take baby steps into it. Build it out little bits at a time. Confirm your results in stages. And then also use ramp up patterns. Even though you want to hit your server with, let's say, 10,000 transactions per second, ramp into that problem so that, let's say, when your server goes south halfway through, only at, let's say, 5,000 transactions per second, that you know that that's where your problem is instead of just throwing it all to the server and then killing the server all at once. You kind of know where you're starting to get trouble. The CPU starts to exponentially increase at, let's say, 5,000. And so you see, that's where I really need to focus my efforts. So getting visibility on where and when your performance degradation happens, that's a key thing.
Awesome. Yeah, great advice. And I think this also goes back to your other advice, having a key person dedicated to performance. Because I can see scrum teams having really these unrealistic performance tests that they're creating and driving management crazy because they're saying, oh, it can't handle load or something, but it's due to their unrealistic expectations or it's not a valid business flow that would ever happen. It's like making my Scion go 150 miles. It would never do that. So why would I do that?
Yeah, that's really the kernel of it is, you know, get your expectations right, but then also help other people around you, the people demanding you to do 10,000 of something, to really understand what that 10,000 means. It's very important to be able to have a team that are all together, even if only one person is primarily doing the performance tests together. They understand their expectations and their goals.
So are there any resources or books you would recommend to help someone to learn Load UI or performance testing of APIs in general?
Sure. Well, of course, we've got, you know, SmartBear resources on the SmartBear site. There's a whole wealth of knowledge there. And then also a couple months back, there was something called the API Testing Dojo. So you understand some of the reasons why you would test and then also some of the hangups there. So that's just on our side. But then I also really love the community. I'm a big fan of SQA forums. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I've been going to my local chapter of, you know, essentially it's a meetup. It's called the Web Performance Group in Boston. And this is a bunch of people, you know, that provide really great resources. They have their own YouTube channel, so YouTube Boston Web Performance Group, and watch a couple of those. It's really good. Well, even stuff outside of performance, just stuff about statistics, stuff about mathematics that I would never want to go to school for, because I'd fall asleep. But being able to, let's say, listen to them on the commute, or being able to absorb them in a way that is right to your schedule. Things like, there's a book called The Drunkard's Walk by Leonard Mlodinow. Then also Black Swan. The Black Swan is actually really good. That's by Nassim Taleb. That's a really good book. And then, of course, back in the performance route, it's tried, but it's true. Steve Souter's High Performance Websites is a really good read. But really, I tend to deal with the community much, much more and get much more out of that. Books are really nice, but conversations are where it's at. Being able to address the current needs, get a sense for how people come at the problem rather than being told, these are the tenets that you must abide to.
Besides these awesome resources you just mentioned, are there also any other tools that you recommend for performance testers or testers in general?
Sure. So I was recently looking at a Velocity conference on the YouTube, and this guy was talking about the HTTP archive. So we know what the web archive is, but the HTTP archive helps you actually compare performance statistics about either, one site or another, or the same site over time, and then in aggregate, what the web is moving towards. And as we can see, JavaScript is on the rise. So it used to be images and video. Well, there's a lot of JavaScript out there. So just being able to kind of see that stuff, that's the httparchive.org. And then also, I have just been blown away by how cool Tableau is. Tableau is a data visualization and graphing and exploratory tool. So you can basically just load up a CSV file or Excel file and drag and drop some of your data points in, and all of a sudden now you got these bubble charts. And it's like, well, great, what does that tell me? But as you explore your data, you start to very quickly, especially if you're a lean forward tester, you very quickly start to isolate the specific analysis patterns that help you answer the problem at hand very quickly. So in that sense, just those two tools, those are recent finds. I was very, very excited to see HTTP Archive, but then I've been playing around with Tableau too.
Awesome. Those are two tools I haven't heard of before, so I'm definitely going to check that out. They sound awesome. Okay, Paul, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their Load UI performance testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find out or contact SmartBear or you to learn more about Load UI Pro.
Sure. So final words. I would say every good performance tester is a lean forward person. They take ownership of their own process, their own problems, and they know the value of having the right tool for the job. To give a plug to SmartBear, that's why I'm here. I'm here because we know what tools that we want to use for performance testing. So, in that light, you can go to the smartbear.com site under the product section. We've got Load UI and Load UI Web. You can go to our YouTube channel. We've got Twitter handles that you can follow. That's @LoadUI and @LoadUIWeb. And if you follow some of that, we post out stuff that we're doing, the conferences we're at, the information that we're providing is through those mechanisms there. But really, it's, lean forward into your performance tests and take ownership over the responsibility of being able to prove whether something's going to succeed or whether you're going to have trouble and how to address that before you go into production.
I'm probably going to be saying this a lot now. So is lean forward tester a term that you coined?
It is. But no, it's just the idea is like nothing's enough. It's never enough. How Dave Matthews says, suck it up, gobble it up, eat all that information you can and keep getting better. At no point do you not educate yourself. Otherwise, you just go amongst the wayside.
I think that's a great, inspiring saying to wrap this test talk on. I believe you, Paul, and everyone listening to this type of podcast are lean forward type testers. Thank you for joining me on Test Talks. And remember, you can find the links to everything of value that we talked about today in the show notes at www.testtalks/14. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.